back to the Brando and Joe podcast. Our guest today is Ophir Brody. He's currently in Hofstra University's Applied Organizational Psychology PhD program, has previous experience at Citibank, and is currently the Senior Manager of Change Management and Marketing at Bread Financial. Welcome, Ophir. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, guys. Excited to be here.
Yeah, no, this is going to be a fun episode. I think we first talked about it at Brandon planned like the Metro Social event, and we're standing next to each other, and I forgot who it was, but then we started talking about the podcast, and we're like, we should have you on. You're like, yeah, I want to come on, and then it just happened like that.
Yeah, it was Amar. Shout out to Amar. It was a really good idea. He had a great time on your podcast before, and he was like, Ophir, you got to get on the podcast. I had such a great time, so I'm really happy to be here.
That's all we hope for, you know. If you learn something, great. But if you laugh and you have fun, that's all that matters. But no, I mean, after talking with you for 5-10 minutes, I was like, the experience you have just to come on and share it with the prospective IO students, I was like, this is going to be great. You know so much, and now you're in the PhD program going back to school. And I was like, it would be amazing to hear just your life experiences and what you've done and what you've gone through. And so no, we're excited to talk to you today.
Awesome. No, thank you for having me.
So touching upon that first part about you going back to school, because you've had a very fruitful career at some pretty amazing companies that us IO students that are going into the job market would love to have. And I remember when we were talking with you about your decision to go back to school, where sometimes you feel as a student, I'm going to school to get these jobs. What was your initial decision to be this is why I want to go back to school, especially for that IO psychology education?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great question. The way I think about it, so it's actually my 10-year anniversary of living in New York City this June. So I kind of think of the journey starting all the way back then, where I started working at Citibank. And if you told me 10 years ago that I'd be in my first year of a PhD program or even got my master's, I would have said you're crazy. I'm a first generation college graduate. Getting my college degree was a great moment in my life. And I thought, all right, now I'm going to go to New York. I'm going to work at Citibank. I'm going to work my way up. And that's my career. But it wasn't until I met my wife, my now wife, my girlfriend at the time. She's actually a neuropsychologist, and she was in school getting her doctorate, and she was doing a rotation at Baruch College, actually. And I was, when you're working, I'm sure you guys know it, you're talking about work, you're talking about the things that frustrate you. And I'd worked on a lot of different teams. And every night, I'm talking to my wife, and I'm telling her, oh, man, this is bothering me, or that's bothering me. And at the center of all my issues, my brand is people. I really care about people, and it being a really great work experience. When I moved teams at Citi, which I had a great opportunity to do, it was always about a different culture, or trying something different, working an open floor plan, or working from home on Fridays, or having a different manager who will teach me this or teach me that. And she said, they have this flyer on the wall at Baruch for a program called IO psychology. And I'm like, IO what? I'm not going to be a psychologist. I'm not going back to school. And she's like, no, this is kind of what you've been talking about. This is a real field in psychology. And I was like, well, I'm not going to study for my GREs. If I'm going to get anything, I'm going to get my MBA. And she's like, well, how about this? They're going to have an open house. Why don't you come? We'll go together. I'll come with you. And we'll just see if you like it. So I remember I left work early that day, and my wife was there. We walked in, and Harold Goldstein, who you guys have had on, Harold's the greatest.
Oh, we love Harold. Yeah.
He's the best. Dr. Goldstein is just one of those people where – I was just excited. I'm a sports guy. And I heard about the NFL stuff. And at one point, we can talk about this another time, I was very interested in sports psychology. And I'm like, oh, man, everything's coming together. But I remember my wife, we walked in, she had a notebook. She said, I'll take notes. You just listen. And by the end of that hour, I was like, I got to do this. I'm going to do this. And it just took an hour. And I'm listening to all the things he's talking about. I'm listening to all the different areas of IO psychology. And I'm like, wow, there's a field for people like me who just want to talk about work, want to nerd out about work and how we can make it better for other people. And that was May of 2019. And then by September of 2019, I was taking my GREs. And then by November of 2019, I got into the program at Baruch, and the rest is history.
Wow. That, That's such a great story, and I feel like it's good for people to hear that. As like, it's never too late to go. You have to thank your wife from us so that we could have you here on the podcast and and get your experience. But we had a recent episode with a fellow classmate of ours, Matt, about his experience going back to school. And for him, it was a completely different thought process where it was like, I always was thinking IO psychology, but it just never was the time. And it's really interesting to hear from you, Ophir, about how you were like, I don't know what this is. And then you learned about it and jumped into it. And in your previous experience, this leads to my question. Your previous experience was in like the marketing area. So with that, like, did you find an intersection of like IO psychology and marketing that really like helped you kickstart your career in IO psychology?
That's a really great question. And I think about that a lot. Like, where's that intersection? Because you're never going to like shed off what you did before. You know, obviously, I've managed teams in my career. So there's a lot of skills involved with, you know, managing, and IO is great for that. I tell people, you know, I'm not going to plug a program, but I will. Baruch has an executive IO program. And I think that's a really good opportunity instead of an MBA. But when you talk about like the foundational skills that are really good in terms of, you know, what's the crossover, you know, they say it, marketing is psychology in itself. You know, if you were going to look at going to a company and doing marketing, or you want to be an IO psychologist who does marketing, you could pretty much do marketing for employees. You're trying to show them the benefits. And I'll tell you one of the, a book that I've been reading recently, it's called Nudge. It's by, I have it right on my desk. It's by Richard Thaler and Cass Sunstein. It's actually, it's influenced by Daniel Kahneman, who passed away on Tuesday of this week. And I've been reading this book, and it talks a lot about how complex people are. So when you think about marketing, you're trying, you know, I work on credit card campaigns. So we're trying to acquire people to, you know, get this credit card, and, you know, you have all these benefits and stuff. And it's like, ultimately, how do you lead people to the right decision for them? And as marketers, how do you lead people to, you know, get whatever product you're selling in your campaign. Well, in IO psychology, you're trying to help employees and employers make the best decisions for their company, and then employees make the best decisions for themselves. So I've seen a ton of crossover, especially in the area of nudges. And this book does a really good job of talking about that. And I think now more than ever, I've been reflecting a lot on, wow, like you can really, you know, you can try to do what's right for people and do what's best for them, but you also have to help them make the right decisions, and you have to have really good choice models in place for them to do that. So that's where a lot of the crossover has been in my marketing career, and I've enjoyed that.
I always love hearing people like yours' experiences, because it shows you, like what have we said in previous podcast episodes, that IO psychology can be applied anywhere. It's not just like your regular OD job where it's like this internal employee. But even someone who's like not an employer, you're still using those IO psychology principles. Are you still trying to stay in that like marketing sphere and like use those IO psychology principles? Or is it more now trying to work on that like internal sort of employee engagement? Or can you kind of do both?
Yeah, that's a loaded question and a good question in that, you know, you guys have great questions. I've been saying great questions. It's really, you guys have some really
good
questions.
You take some time to think about it if you want.
Yeah. No, I love it. What I'll say is that it's a good question. And that's why I'm like, you know, you're asking me, what do I want to do in a couple of years? And that's where I'm reflecting. And I love it. You know, what I'll say, and this goes a little back in my career, right? I told you guys when I started, I went to Drexel in Philly. And, you know, first generation college graduate, that comes with tuition payments. I worked almost full time while in school when I was younger, from 19 on. Yeah. And I'm doing that now. I'm still working full time. But the thing I didn't get the first time around was that classroom experience. Like I did. Drexel was a great school, but I was so focused on just getting that career and getting under my belt. And you were talking about it earlier, Joe. You're like, you know, we're trying to get into these careers from here as a launching pad. I feel like I've had this really good career that I've started with. And now, you know, that I'm older, I think a lot about it. And I think I really want to take advantage of this. This is not I call it like my second chance, but obviously you get lots of chances. But to be able to go back to school, like in my 30s and, you know, really soak everything in, like that's why I'm here. Like if you talk about pure classroom and wanting to be in the classroom, Like, I love the classes. I love the professors at this program. I feel really fortunate. I've Dr. Nolan as an advisor, and I'm so happy. That's awesome. He really makes me, he challenges me. And it's one of those things in your career where you work for so many different people, but to do something purely from an academic standpoint and really feel challenged and be around peers who also want to be challenged, like, that can be hard to find, you know? And that's one thing I tell you guys, especially as you guys finish up your masters, these are people, these are your friends for life. And you're really trying to find, like, a passion that you guys have together that you share, and that's IO psychology. So then the question is, why am I here? What am I doing with this? I could keep doing what I'm doing. I could definitely keep doing this change management sector. I've kind of carved this role out for myself in my current organization. And my CMO has really seen the value in it. And I think we're working on some really cool stuff. I'm really getting a chance to work on change management initiatives that I think are helping the department and helping the organization. But when I think about myself, right, my manager asked me, what do you want out of this, right? Do you want to keep going on that marketing trajectory? Do you want to be at the next level in marketing? Or are you looking to do that people pathway and get to the next level there and keep doing the IO psychology thing? And my answer is number two. That's what I want to do. Now, how do I want to do it? I go back to a question Dr. Nolan asked me when he interviewed me for the PhD program. He said, Ophir, 10 years from now, what do you want to be doing? I said to him, I want to be doing something with academia. I want to be doing something with research. I want to be doing something in the industry. And he said, hey, you're looking at it. That's me. And I said, huh. So I don't know what that means. Do I want to be Dr. Nolan? That'd be pretty cool. He's a pretty cool guy. But I do know that I'd really like to go down that path, explore academia. I'd love to adjunct in the fall, start getting that under my belt. And then kind of the career stuff around it, I could keep doing what I'm doing, but I know that I want to stay in the classroom. I know I really want to talk to the next generation and kind of talk about the things I learned in my career over the last 10 years, because I do think that business experience is important. And that's a good insight that I bring to the field. And I've been really lucky to get that.
That's such a great anecdote, talking about Dr. Nolan asking that question and your thoughts about your career trajectory. I can tell that you really have thought this through, and it's nice to hear about that, because sometimes people start their careers and they just kind of see where it takes them. And that's not a bad thing at all, but also putting some plans and goals in place are really helpful too. One thing that comes to my mind in terms of like what we're talking about is the intersection also of business experience and the education that comes with an IO degree. And you have that prior experience coming into these programs. When you started learning that the IO psychology principles, as Joe kind of spoke to earlier, and you would think about it in terms of like what you've already experienced and what you plan to do, is there, I guess what I'm trying to get at here, is there something that like changed and clicked in terms of like the what you could bring to a classroom and teach students that they might not be getting from professors who stayed in academia their whole careers and learned and did a lot of research, that you could bring based off of your experience and then your PhD and master's knowledge that you've accumulated?
Yeah, that's, you know, it's something I think a lot about as I entered the master's program. Even I entered Baruch thinking it was going to be a clean slate, like forget my business experience. I'm in a different field now. And the moment I entered the classroom, they were, you know, I remember a professor was talking about like a study. He had us read a study. And I'm reading it. It's laboratory. You know, it's not in the field. It's a lab. And I'm like, this wouldn't happen like at work. Like, there's no way this would happen. And I raised my hand a lot and was asking, like, this is my experience. This is my experience. This is my experience. And that there's a good principle there, by the way. It's you can't always, especially with experimentation, you can't always think about your experience. You have to think about everyone's experience. That's a lesson I learned very early. If everything was based off your experience, you know, things would be very different. And that's why it's important to do scientific research and to read those articles. But one thing I did learn is that I have a lot of context to bring to these situations. I remember entering Baruch. I was at a point in my career, I mean, we're talking before the pandemic, right before the pandemic. I had worked on 5 different teams. I had been promoted 3 times. I had worked on teams of 2. I had worked on teams of 10. I had managers I got along great with. I had managers that, you know, could have been a better relationship. I had really good year ends. I had, you know, every which way, you know, I had a 5-minute commute to work. I had a 1-hour commute to work. I went through all of it and I chased all those experiences. It wasn't about promotions. For me, it was, I want to try everything. And that's why when I pick up a textbook or I sit in a classroom, I think I have an advantage because I can tie almost everything to a situation that I've been through. I'm fortunate enough to have had a career that, you know, was 8+ years prior to the pandemic. And I say that because we live in some environments that are very virtual, and that in-person experience was really valuable to me in my career. And in my current companies, we've had interns who come on and work 20, you know, virtual. They, you know, we're always trying to talk about what are some of the skills you need to have. And one of the things I always say to them is, when I started, I worked at a bread company when I was 19, Bimbo Bakeries USA. I worked in their corporate office in their marketing department. And it was it was myself and a couple interns. And we sat in a printer room, like the four of us in this crammed little printer room. We called it the co-op cave. And I had the best time of my life. I mean, those people were like my family, it felt like working and going there. And I don't know how much I made. It wasn't much, but I got to learn from looking at them, the ones who were a year older than me in the internship program. Like, I would model what I did after them. And then I'd sit with my manager in their office. And those are experiences at 19, like, you can't get. And then when I started at Citibank, I'm sitting on an open floor. I'm looking around my shoulder. How is someone else doing this? How's my boss doing this? I'm sitting in meetings. You know, you can look at the presenter, but if you look at how people are handling themselves around a table, you can learn a lot more than just what that one person's saying. And my recommendation is always get that in-person experience. And that was a really valuable time in my career where, you know, I could really soak everything in. And the one thing I feel bad about, while I think virtual work's so important, and I would never say it should go away, but I think there's a balance to it. And I think there's a huge experience for people who are younger in their career to be there in person. And that also means some of the veterans in the organization need to be there as well, so you can learn from them. So I say that because all of those experiences took me into IO, because I can remember those things. It's a little different in a virtual environment. It can, you know, the experiences seem to go by really fast. So I know I took that in a different direction.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was perfect. I love the experiences that you've mentioned. And it's the experiences that you should have when you're starting out a career. You should have maybe a longer commute, and maybe you're not the most comfortable room, and you're kind of like building yourself up and like trying out different things and seeing what works for you. And that bit about working before the pandemic is interesting too, because I mean, I didn't work a corporate job before the pandemic. Like, all I've really known is like post-pandemic and like the virtual way or the hybrid way, working remotely. So it's an interesting perspective. And maybe for this question, you might not have an answer yet, because I know you're just a first year PhD student, but has any of this led you down what you want to do your research in? Like, are your current research going to be based on like your past experiences, or are you looking to something like totally different?
That's a question that I'm still playing with a lot, but I do have an answer for it.
Understandable.
Yeah, Dr. Noel and I talk about it. At one point, I thought I had my dissertation down, but you know, Dr. Nolan's great in that he really challenges you, and like he's not telling you to go in this direction. He's telling you to explore that direction. I'm the kind of person. I'll give you a good story real quick. Dr. Shahani had us go to the art museum on Hofstra's campus a couple of weeks ago. We're working on these research methods projects, and it's great. If you haven't been to the art museum on Hofstra's campus, it's beautiful. So we go in there and we're doing this exercise where we're looking at pictures and we're forming hypotheses based off them. We're looking at these paintings. And I remember we started with an exercise of looking at a painting, and the person who was showing us around, she said, "Well, what do you guys think's happening?" And everyone in my cohort were throwing out all these answers. That's an eye. That's a sun. All these things. And finally, she's like, "Oh, these are great." She's talking us through the observations. And the way it ends is, you know, I turn to her and I say to her, whose answer was right?" And she said, "What do you mean?" I was like, "So who was right? What was the artist thinking of?" And she's like, "No, that's not the point. The point is, you know, there's no right answer." And I think that's kind of the thought process I've been trying to take in the PhD program, is there's no right answer, and it's okay to keep thinking about these things. So when you ask me, going back to this question, I've played. I started off thinking about blue collar, white collar jobs. I told you guys I'm a first generation college graduate. I have blue collar roots. I'm from Philly. My grandparents owned a bakery in Center City, Philadelphia. Like I, you know, my dad, my uncles worked there all night. You know, working in that bakery. I think about those blue collar roots. I think about my mom, coming from the U.S. from Israel, and like, you know, just kind of making it here. And I think about those blue collar roots, and I think to myself, like, there's a mentality to that. And I've read this book, Angela Duckworth's Grit, and there's a grit, there's something to that. And I've been trying to see, like, what's the difference between like a white collar worker and a blue collar worker, and where do those skills kind of overlap a little bit? So there's been something there. I've been getting into flow. You guys, I love Jared too. I think he's the best. He's the king of flow. I'm not trying to dethrone him, but I'm trying to learn it. I'm trying to learn it from Dr. Nolan, definitely from Jared, someone who I've seen at these Metro events, and he's kind of set this great pathway for IO psychologists. And then I've been into nudges recently. My first IO book was Work Rules by Laszlo Bock, and I love Laszlo Bock. He was head of people at Google. And I think he really set that foundation for how someone in a business background, I think he worked at McKinsey previously, came over to Google and changed like the workforce for the better. And I think there's something to employee motivation and how you do things that makes things different. And Work Rules for me, I think that's what I always thought IO was. I thought it was like experimentation on employees. I remember I put this deck together in 2018 for my department head. I was in the culture club, and I said, what if we dim the lights on one half of the floor and made it, you know, and made them really bright on the other, and we could see who's more productive? And she said to me, Ophir, like, they're not lab rats. What are you doing? And I'm thinking, yeah, but like, what if we put the fruit we had free food. I said, what if we put the fruit on the shelf you can see, and then we take that candy and we put it on the high shelf? She's like, what are you doing? And I was like, well, I'm trying to take Laszlo Bock's principles. And what I learned is that, you know, humans are complex and they're not lab rats, that's for sure. But there are some really cool principles that you can put in place for the workforce. And I gave you three areas. Those are three areas I'm thinking about.
All of those sound really interesting. And Joe and I are definitely going to have to follow up with you on them and see what you come up with, because they all sound like really fun topics. To kind of pivot, because there's still a topic we wanted to chat with you about today before we get to the end. We want to talk about IO and finance. You talk about your experience at Citibank and your experience now. You know, IO and finance is something we've had on this podcast prior. We want to kind of hear just what IO principles you've seen in your own career in IO and finance.
Yeah, I think that's something. When I think about that, you know, I keep bringing this book up, but I think about nudges a lot. For me, I work in marketing. I've worked on programs like a balance transfer. You know, you have an existing credit line, and you get a certain APR for it, and there's a certain finance to it, a fee that comes with it. And I think the crossover really has to do with that decision-making aspect that you're trying to help your employees with. So when you talk about something like nudges and decision making, you can take that same concept and let's do a little IO HR. Let's talk about your health plan. You know, you guys, you know, when you're working full time, you guys are going to be working at a place. You're going to get a 401k. You're going to get medical benefits. I'm sure you guys are excited about those medical benefits that are coming. And what happens like when you get to choose that? What if you forget to choose it? Like, there's that default option potentially that you could get. And it's important as employers that we think about, like, what's the default option? And that's what Nudge really talks about. Like, what's that default option? And when I think about finance, you can get a lot of financial offers. You can get a lot of credit card offers. You can get a lot of mortgage offers. And the important thing is doing what's right for the consumer and making sure you're being as transparent as possible. You know, we look at those really long terms and conditions in those letters you get to open up a checking account or a credit card account. It's transparency. It's doing what's right for the consumer. And I think just like we try to do in IO psychology, we want to do what's right for the employee. You know, I remember when I started Baruch and I had a class with Harold, and he said, you know, who do you work for in IO? And I hope I don't misquote him, but he had said, I had said the employee, and he said, no, it's the employer. Like, that's who you're working for, right? But like, the employee can have a positive, there can be a positive, but when you're hired in as a consultant, you're working for the employer. And I think the same thing about, you know, working in finance, like, you know, you are trying to make, do something profitable for the company, but you can have both. I believe you can have both. And I think that's where the principles kind of intersect a little bit. It's doing what's right for that central audience. And whether it's the employee or it's the consumer, you got to do what's best for them.
It kind of brings me to like a curiosity, like it's more of like a discussion question, not as much about your experience, but because we talk about IO and finance, but just IO in general in different industries, do we think it's different to implement it in like maybe like a law industry or a finance industry or a tech industry? Just like some food for thought. Have either of you guys like thought about is it the same putting it in different organizations, or does it really depend on that like culture of that employee, whether it's like a investment banker or a software engineer, things like that nature? Just wondering.
I think there's an intimacy piece to it. I think there's like there's a little you have to know. I think that's why we're all in it, right? And IO is, you do have a lot of options in terms of industry. There was a show years ago. I forget who it was a Patriots player, and he did a lot of odd jobs, right? And he would go into different companies and try these jobs. And I think that's what makes IO so attractive, is you don't have to work in one industry. You can work in so many different places, but it is important to have like a high level knowledge of what that organization does, whether it's healthcare or finance. And yeah, Brandon, I definitely want to hear your perspective on this.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think that it's not just industry specific, but location specific too. I think like that's just, as somebody who came here from a different part of the US, and Ophir, you came from a different city as well. I think just the culture around work in New York is already so different than so many other places. So instilling IO psychology here in an environment here, I think, has its own play along with the culture of the organization and the people within the organization. So like the people are going to be what I think drive the change, but it's also a matter of like what that job, like the PO fits, like what is it that is being attracted to these employees? Like, how are they coming into this company? Because certain things might work at one company and not another, just because of the types of people that are applying for the jobs there. But that's just my own perspective of thought.
No, I love your location piece too. Like, I didn't even really, I guess, initially think of it either, but like IO is definitely different, not just in the US, but in like different parts of the world. And it's always like interesting to hear people's like perspectives and opinions on like just implementing it in maybe, you know, like a tech company in California versus maybe a different sort of sector in China or somewhere in like Europe. It's just, not to catch you guys off left field.
I was going to say, to add to that too, there's a few people in our program who have internships at different companies, and like talking about the difference in mentality, like they had an internship at a company that was a little bit more slow paced, and they were like a fast paced New Yorker. And like being in a company like that, trying to instill the practices that they've been learning in our program, they struggled because like they wanted to like do more and add more, but the company itself might've been a little slower, and they were more like, we're on, like it was like in consulting. So they're like, we're on retainer, everything's fine. Like, so the difference in mentality like changed the output of what like this person was trying to do. And it's the same. I think it could like work the same way in a bunch of different ways as well, whether that's like at a different company or, I don't know, just some food for thought there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well said. It's always interesting just seeing IO in the different places. Hopefully in the future of this podcast, we could explore that.
going to a few different companies, you guys could, I think there's something there. You guys could definitely do a, different industries, different places, interview different people. I like it. Take it on the road. Brando and Joe on the road. I like it.
IO and the different wonders of the world. You could do like pyramids of Giza.
Yeah, you guys get a budget. You guys could start traveling. I'll start fundraising. I like it.
I was going to say, who's the one giving us money? We'll happily take it to a, but no, it's that'd be fun. We do want to give you some time at for our last question at the end. Cause obviously you have so many great experiences. And I mean, just through this podcast, you said so many great things. But do you think you have any like tips or advice for just prospective IO students or maybe students that are currently in a program looking to start their early career off?
Yeah, I think my advice is, I think it really is just get as much experience as you can. And when I say that, I mean, I've told you guys about my path and how, you know, there's so many paths to get into where you are. And whether you're going from undergrad to master's or undergrad to lots of years and then master's, what I say is don't ever turn down experiences. That was something I think I always thought of a career. I was always taught a career is like this, you know, perfectly, you know, move up one step. And it wasn't until I started doing laterals at Citibank and other places that I realized these are where the richest experiences are. And if you keep chasing what's up there, it's like that Miley Cyrus, Hannah Montana song, The Climb. You really want to enjoy the climb. Like, that's the truth. And the climb's the best
part
of the whole
thing. First time that's been quoted on here.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to bring it back. But it really is about the climb. I mean, ultimately, it's about just doing it's being open to new experiences. And I think there's no better time to do that than when you're in school and when you're going out of school. You know, you may go through your master's and you may think, I want to be in learning development. And a lot of times you're going to try it. Maybe you're going to like it. Maybe you're not going to like it. But every experience, what I've learned is everything is a puzzle piece. And everything you do is going to help you somewhere else. So when you're looking for those experiences, you know, don't look at the whole thing. There's got to be parts of it that you like or don't like. I always tell people when they have a manager that they have trouble working with, one of my lines has always been, well, that's a great story for an interview. You know, you think about those interview questions they ask you. They ask you, give me a tough time. Name an unethical situation you've ever been in. I mean, if life's perfect, we've never been in those situations, but life's not perfect. And you want to expose yourself. You know, you could work. I've had managers who I've loved. I'm like, I'm never going to stop working for that person. But you got to move on. You got to try new things because you got to build those stories. And that's really what your career is. It's a long story that's your own. And it's never going to be perfect. It's never going to match someone else's. So make sure that, you know, you're open to the different turns. That's what life's about to me. So that's my advice. Don't pigeonhole yourself into one thing. Keep your mind really open to all the opportunities out there.
I think that's great advice. You know, there's so much in there that I think students can take away from that. One piece that I want to take and build off of for people to listen to and help with their careers is like being a student of the moment piece that you added there, Ophir. I think like being a student of the moment and being a sponge and just learning from all the opportunities you have, whether they're good or bad, there's always something to take away that can help further your career, whether that's a bad manager or a difficult team or a great functioning team or like whatever that is. I think that, you know, when you are a student, and you're in grad school, whether you're going back to school or you're starting right out of undergrad, sometimes you can get caught up in looking forward for that job. Like we kind of spoke about on this episode, you look forward for that job. You think about the job that you want. You think about what it looks like and what it could be. And you kind of forget that you're currently like getting an education. You're learning about all these things. And then on top of that, you're probably in an internship or getting experience. And all of that is relevant to what you're learning. So instead of like looking forward and thinking forward for all of that greatness that's coming ahead, it's also like to be in that moment and to learn from what you have around you. I think that's great for students out there who are going to be like entering into the workforce and have to like get experience out there and learn. I think that's great advice, Ophir.
Well said.
Well, thank you, Ophir, for coming on and talking with us today. It was a great episode. I hope you enjoyed it. We definitely did.
We did for sure.
I had a wonderful time with you guys. This is great. And if I could plug really quick, PSYOP, potentially.
Team. Go for it.
So I'll be speaking at PSYOP on a panel about the 4-day work week. So if you're going to PSYOP this year, we'll be going on that Friday at 8:00. So look out for a topic on the 4-day work week. Looking forward to having a lot of fun talking about it. So looking forward to seeing y'all at PSYOP. And thank you, guys. Thank you, Brandon. Thank you, Joe. We've been looking forward to this for a while. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. We'll make sure to put that in the description and like the comments too. We'll 4-day work week. I mean, not to start a new topic right when we're ending, but that's definitely a fun topic to talk about. So, well, you know what?
We'll do
you don't have to
second episode.
We can, listen to you at SciUp instead. But yes, thank you for coming on, Ophir.
Thank you. Yeah, this is great. Thank you, Ophir. That was a great episode with Ophir, Joe. You know, we were telling him after. I think he should start his own podcast. He was so well-spoken and has such great experience. He made us seem like we weren't the vets that we are. He was so great.
Those are the best episodes. And I mean, when I say best, I probably should say most episodes where the guests kind of outshine us, which is nothing but good, because you could see their experience and their thoughts and their beliefs about the IO psychology field in general. It's just always so great to hear. And you could really see that with Ophir, because he's so passionate about the work he's doing, which makes such a great episode. Because you can really see that he puts in the work and dedication into his craft. So just listening to what he's done so far in his life is just always so fun to hear about.
Yeah, passionate and knowledgeable are the first two words that come to my mind when thinking about Ophir, in terms of what I got from him in this episode and what I know about him as a human being at a program. And it's kind of cool to have him on in conjunction with the episode that we released recently with Matt, and just hearing about two different career paths. That's one knew about IO, one didn't know about IO, and going back later in their careers. It's cool to hear stories like that, because I think the clinical side of psych to IO path is usually the normal one, or the one that people hear the most about. To hear ones like theirs, and specifically in this episode of Fears, is really cool to have a career like he did, and then to come back to school and to do it the way he's done it. It's admirable for sure.
Absolutely. We're just happy that he wanted to talk to us for a half hour. But thank you everybody for listening. We really hope you enjoyed it. And hopefully we will see you guys next week.